G'day and welcome back to the Shed of Basketball Truth. It is Studio 3, after a bit more construction done, actually. It's really looking good. Some photos will come shortly. Right, this week's guest. What can I say about them? Look, to be honest, they're only here as a favor to their mum. You know, this guy, he's really into his basketball. In fact, for 2 years, he even had season tickets to the Bullets. What else has he done basketball-wise? He's put up a lot of shots and a lot of chirp. Look.
Also, outscored you in every team we've both played into.
All right. He's going to jump straight in. So I'll throw in one more before we get quite to it. The second best charity shooter in our house, in our family. Yeah, that's right. I went there. One, Christopher Leslie, hip lifter, Crawford. Welcome to the show, buddy.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It's all good. Like I said, it's a favor to your mum, mate.
it's nice after a couple of years of your brother doing a podcast about the sport you love to finally get the call up. So, yeah, here we are.
Yeah, look, some would say, no, let's be positive. Let's be positive. but, yeah, look, let's talk hoops. Let's jump straight in. Last time I saw you on the court, you had a shot from halfway. It didn't go well. Was it three-quarter time during a Caps game? You missed that by a bit.
Yeah, they make or miss. The mistake was not going to the corner for the free ball. I won't hit that down anytime soon.
Look, and then you even, like, you know, tried to build up the crowd and everything, and you went to the exact same spot where I made mine. Like, my stroke was gorgeous and pure, and it was a clunker. Hey.
Yeah.
Anywho, I was able to support my charity. Unfortunately, I assume you just put your hand in your own pocket and sorted that out.
Yeah, I paid Reggio this week and 20 of that went to them. So, yeah, I think we're good on that front.
Oh, good. Supporting Dragons. Supporting the Dragons. Yeah. Well done. All right, let's get stuck into today's show. Can't just, you know, sit here all evening just throwing winning barbs at you. Let's get stuck in. So today's show, basically, we're going to break down some Opals. We're going to look at some of the NBA signings. Free agency is now open, and first day was huge. Wowzers. But, you know, and those, you know, few extra signings and few extra trades are starting to now happen. You know, some Aussie implications, obviously. And then, of course, some NBL one. We'll obviously look at how things are shaping up coming into the playoffs. We've now only got two rounds left, and it's both the men's and the women's. It's tight-ish at the top, and there's a clear, you know, first tier and second tier, and then it's going to be tight for both.
Really tight. Yeah.
Both the men and the women's divisions at that around that eight spot. Which we'll get into in a little bit, mate. Opals, rose gold once more. It's what we've come to expect, mate.
It's good, but it's frustrating too when you think that the ceiling's so much higher for them.
It is, but same time too, you know, we were able to blood a few good newer players, get them in and rolling, and we did get it done against NZ. We were able to get that done, and you know, continue that rose gold march to, you know, something a little bit more shinier.
Yeah, I think that was the big positive to kind of take away is not letting the disappointing loss against China compound and then lose to New Zealand and not get that rose gold. So yeah, they've kind of showed that they can, you know, dig deep and again they did the same in the must win game against Korea earlier in the round games. They could have quite easily seen them out of that Olympic qualification. So. They've definitely got some heart. They just need to spend a little bit more time working together with these younger players coming through and building that team chemistry with the new squad.
Yeah, and look, obviously, once we get round to 2024 with the Olympics, we'll obviously have those WNBA players, and you know, everybody will be available for that. You know, injuries depending, of course. So there's definitely additions and those sort of things, but it's Asia Cup's always a good depth check. We had the same with the men's a couple of years ago, where we had Macca captaining that one, and it was a really good depth check of Australian basketball. And obviously, you know, they were able to get the gold in that one. But you know, that's really what these Asia Cups for, because we don't get everybody coming back. But you know, that's life. But
it is, that also gives opportunity for those younger players and players coming in to kind of really, you know, get some time and make their mark. And maybe get a chance to actually make that Olympic squad now off the back of what they can do for the coach.
Yeah, and you know, players like friend of the show, Lauren Scherfy, had a really solid Asia Cup performance. You know, Matt Tess Madgen as well, and of course Rochi, and you know, I could go through the entire list, but you know, there was some real standouts, some really solid ball, and look, you know, fingers crossed, we can just fold this into the mix and build to 2024. But anyway,
yeah.
All right, NBA action. So a flurry.
Yeah, what's happening? Our basketball chat just keeps blowing up with more and more signings and moves and from big to small.
Indeed. All right. Now I know it happened a little while ago. You know, Chris Paul and bounce from here to there, and is apparently now at your team, which is allegedly the Warriors.
Turn it up.
Well, look,
we'll prove that later.
Once upon a time, you were a Lakers guy, apparently, and then all of a sudden,
In my defense, I like to follow players more than teams, and I like to follow one player for their career, and then and then move to whoever is the next thing that I want to watch is what it comes down to. Because, I'm not a fan like, you know, the Scotties of the world that can sit through 20 losing seasons in a row. I want to, you know, watch basketball with the players playing that I want to see.
Yeah, look, I get that. I'm just not sure why you haven't followed Harrison Barnes around the league.
Because he was never the guy.
Hey, you went and watched the Warriors and you came home with a Harrison Barnes jersey. I mean,
yeah, I already had a Steph one and they didn't have a Spates one.
Righto, okay. All right. Just saying, mate, just saying. Anyhow, all right, yeah, allegedly a Warriors guy. Anyway, the important part is we've got CP3. He's bounced around a bit, but he's at your Warriors.
So this was the big trade for me. Being the only one that really the Warriors so far have been involved in. I think he's a nice addition for the Warriors, but the big caveat that comes with him really is, can he be healthy down the stretch? You know, time and time again, he's had these injuries in the postseason, and it's just been so frustrating for the teams he's been in. And this is kind of like, it's the end of his last big contract for sure. He might have a few smaller ones after this, but it's definitely... you know, feels like maybe the last roll of the dice kind of thing. I guess it just is kind of last chance to get that ring that it's really avoided in his whole career. And, you know, he's definitely like this Warriors squad with the addition of him, hopefully is at least a decent contender. They may need a little bit more before they, to push him over that line. At least it's a, you know, another good contending team.
He has had, he's obviously had the injury issues postseason with the Clippers, then with Houston, and then regular season with Phoenix, which, of course, issues. It's annoying because I like him. I've got a couple of his jerseys. He's one of those guys, you know, he's been around so long. He's easy.
Yeah.
When you watch him, he's easy to like. I don't love the pull up in, you know, the way he draws those fouls by pulling up in front of the defender.
Yeah.
Don't love those elements. But
it works, so he's going to do it.
Love his handle. Love the way he's able to just get to his spots and just let fly. And, of course, and other times just let go of the ball as well. Able to facilitate others, which it, when you're watching him, it's really easy to like him for that kind of stuff. How much of that he's going to be able to do at the Warriors, how much, you know, burn he's going to get, we'll obviously have to wait and see. But,
You know. Draymond had an interesting point suggesting that he'd be kind of key to improving Jonathan Kuminga, which I thought was quite interesting, saying that, yeah, Chris Paul has obviously had great success at bringing on these young, big guys. And making them look better. So that'll be something to kind of watch, I think.
Yep. While you're here, give me some thoughts on, you know, you are, as we talked about, allegedly this big Warriors fan. What are your thoughts on Poole? And you weren't here last week, so hit me with your Beal thoughts too.
Yeah, so I watched obviously Poole a lot in the season, and, you know, at times he looked like the best player in the league. But unfortunately, at a lot of other times, he looks like the worst player in the league, just not being very, you know, horribly inefficient. And his three-point percentage was way down this year too, because he was forcing a lot of, you know, not great shots, to be fair. So, yeah, I think the big question mark for Washington is, you know, now that he's stepping up to this full-time starting role, or at least potentially taking that starting role, is can he be more efficient and kind of limit those turnovers that have just kind of plagued him over the last couple of years? And also, can he continue his improvements on defense? Because, you know, to his credit, he has improved a hell of a lot on defense compared to when he started. He's, you know, much like myself, he's started pretty badly on the defensive end, but he has improved a lot. So, if he can... the key for Washington is, you know, can he keep improving as a defender and just become a little bit more efficient and, you know, take his time a little bit more and make some better decisions?
I will confirm that he has improved a lot. Yep.
I didn't say I had. Yep. Correct. I might have implied it, but I specifically say it.
You danced around it quite well, but I'm just going to hammer that point home for you. Yep.
Awesome. So, yeah, then obviously the third big part of this deal was, of course, Bradley Beal going to the Suns, which, you know, in my opinion, will give the Suns the best starting lineup in the league, basically. You know, you've got Devin Booker, KD, now Beal. Looks like all of the trades with Ayton have kind of gone away now. So it seems like he will stay. So you add those four and, yeah, you could pretty much have a traffic cone and you've got a pretty good starting lineup there.
Yeah, well, obviously the, you know, two separate trades, but it's basically the same deal. It's how
CP3 ends.
All part of the journey. But look, trade window's been interesting, and it's going to obviously continue to be interesting until we get right down to the end, because it just feels like there's definitely going to be some teams that are looking to be this year, or at least building through this year. Mm-hmm. It's often spicy, and we've started off good. This has been a good start. I like it. I like these big multiple team situation things. Whenever there's a three team trade, it's really bad unless it's cash considerations. So that's always when it's a bit flat. But right, free agency has opened as well. Two big question marks coming into free agency this time around are basically around James Harden. He's opted in. Where's he going to go? And, of course, has requested they're looking to trade. They're mutually looking to trade or whatever it is this time around for him. And, of course, Lillard.
Yeah,
allegedly, who's now asked for a trade to very specific places. Miami, look out, Timmy, look out. but, you know, they're the real big question marks over the next, you know, who's going to be able to put together a package that's going to be good enough.
I think Miami has to be really careful that they, because it seems like they're going, you know, it starts to feel a little bit like they're going all in on the Dame stakes. And, yeah, Portland's been pretty clear that they don't care where he wants to go. They would just want the most they can get for him. So, yeah, we've a lot of the free agents that Miami had now leaving, like Strauss Gorn, Vincent Gorn, and then they shipped Oladipo. Although he was a little while away from being back on the court. But yeah, if they miss out on the Dame stakes, they might find themselves a little bit short with not much time to fill the spots if they're not careful.
Yeah, but, you know, in their defense, they did a great job of filling those spots over the last couple of years with, you know those undrafted, those lower-level sort of guys and then build them up. So they do have the proven ability, you know, to go out and find these guys the unconventional way, but still.
We'll cover it a little bit later, but, yeah, Matisse is one that's sitting out there looking for a good home, so he might be an option.
Might be.
Love to see him get picked up.
Might be. But if you're Portland, you've got to get absolutely everything. If you're going to be the guy to trade away, you know, Dame after all the years of basically treating him badly, like,
yeah, essentially just taking him for granted and not giving him anything to work with,
wasted Dame time, like, yeah. Years of wasted Dame time, like, year after year they rolled out the exact same team, like, to the point where was it Enes Kanter or Enes Freedom Kanter or whatever he's now called out of the league, like, they literally let him go, then brought him back the following year to then let him go again. I mean, it
you already knew it didn't work and you try again.
Yeah, with the exact same sort of fit. And even when they did change names, it still was basically the exact same team and you're just relying on Dame time. So they've effectively wasted this time and that's really tough for Portland fans. Sorry, Lockie and others. But, yeah, looks like, you know, Dame time is coming to an end for you guys, but where's he going to land? Obviously, you know, Portland's going to, you know, want the biggest deal and looks like Miami, happy to give a lot, but how will that experiment work?
I'm sure there'll be a few other suitors yet to appear.
Indeed. But anyway, some of the big signings that we've had, I like this one. Kobe White has signed in Chicago. Now, I like that one because I got a couple of his rookie cards. So, you know, 40 mil over 3 years, not bad for a young fella. One that really stood out to me was Kyle Kuzma, 4-year, $102 million deal.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a bag.
Yeah, for Kuz. Like, yeah. You know, almost a bigger deal as that massive pink knitted number he was wearing that one time. I picked this one because I knew you'd love it. Harrison Barnes on a 3-year, $54 million contract extension. Lovely. One that I've
extension means that I won't be getting his old jersey for Christmas then, does it?
Look, you know, probably not. I might just buy one in my size and give it to you when the time comes, but, you know.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. But the one I really like, a lot, actually, is free agent Derrick Rose signing a 2-year deal with Memphis. And I like it for a couple of reasons. I think he will be a good influence in that locker room, specifically around a specific Ja Morant.
I was going to say their best shooter.
Well, and this has obviously then led to my favorite now Memphis Grizzlies nickname for that team of course, Guns and Roses, which I've seen floating around the internet. And
that's
like,
actually the first I've heard that. That's pretty good.
It's not my work. I will, you know, give, well, I forgot. I've seen it a few times now, but yeah, Guns and Roses, fantastic. I think it's absolutely brilliant what Memphis is doing, bringing in someone like Rose. When you look at Rose's career, how it didn't quite go to plan, I think.
Yeah, it just seems perfect, doesn't it?
It does seem so. So look,
the right guy at the right time.
Yeah. And Grizzlies, I'm actually liking them a bit, what they're doing. I feel as if there's a genuine plan. You don't always get that with the teams this early. Like they've got the majority of their stars locked up in, you know, long-term, good, solid long-term deals. They're making considered signings like this one. And they've also, you know, just traded for Marcus Smart, who helps them out massively defensively. And again, another solid locker room guy. And they've, you know, gotten rid of that other Muppet who wasn't so great in so many ways. But,
yeah,
you know, I'm liking it. I'm liking it. Mr. Lopez, Brookie Lopez, he's back with the Bucks again, another team doing good things this offseason.
He had a great season last year, so yeah. It makes sense.
$48 million contract, so he's really working well. D'Angelo Russell somehow got himself a 2-year, $37 million contract. I say somehow, just wasn't the best in the postseason.
It really didn't feel like it seemed to me like he was the worst of the three choices that they had to pick from, and he seems to be the one they've signed. So,
well, it's probably one of the reasons you're no longer a Lakers fan, mate. So, I assume that's a pretty fluid situation. But anyway, another one I liked was the contract renegotiation and extension of Sabonis with the Kings. I like that. Like ever since he was traded there from the Pacers, he's been a really solid piece for them. They've really turned things around, and he's been given a bag to stick around and keep working. I like
that. Keep riding
that beam. Yeah. Light the beam, baby. And then, of course, Anthony Edwards, he's getting himself a $260 million designated rookie extension for
the Timberwolves. It's kind of rare to say $260 million and say, yeah, he's earned that. But, yeah, he has earned that. His team by far their best.
Well, it's crazy. The money numbers are getting crazy. For example, Bradley Beal's salary over the next 4 years is going to be you saw this floating around the internet, $206 million. LeBron, D-Wade, and Bosch combined salaries from their 4 years together was $196 million back in the day. So,
yeah, crazy. That's just inflation.
Yeah, crazy. But that, you know, goes to show the NBA is what it is now. Look, I really, you know, Timberwolves, this is your guy. Get around Anthony Edwards. Get rid of some of your other just waste of times. You know, yes, they're on big contracts. Surely you're just signing them to a contract so you can then got tradable assets.
Hopefully, but
yeah. Cat has not changed. probably barely changed a diaper, let alone change the game. they need to move off him sooner rather than later. I'm just not feeling it.
I don't know. I think last season was probably a tough to judge him on because he was injured for, you know, 95% of it and, you know, came back to certainly didn't look at 100% in the play-in and playoffs or whatever. So, I don't know if you could 100% judge it, but yeah, he's been there for years before and didn't get it done. So I guess you probably could make the decision.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, it's mediocre Minnesota, you know, which works if you're a fan. But it's a tough situation. I don't love it, but anyway, all right. Obviously, there are other deals and things that have gone down and some big signings and whatnot, but let's get to some of the Australians. And let's start off with Mr. Jock Landau signing himself to a big old four-year deal, getting himself paid. And, yeah, to the Houston Rockets. And for a moment, it looked as if young Jock was going to be, you know, teaming up with Monsieur Patty Mills. For a moment. And then Paddy was traded to OKC, which is fine.
But I'm not angry with that either.
No.
Yeah, I'm very happy to see him there with to kind of take Giddy under his wing. And
Jack White is over there too now. So,
yeah.
Look, don't know about you, but I'll definitely be playing Australian bingo every time I'm watching OKC, and I'll have my fingers crossed. And could you imagine all three of them on the court at the same
time?
Yeah,
no, I can't. I'm sure it'll happen at some point during the season. So yeah, can't wait.
Got to. And don't know about you, I will lose my mind. It will be a magical moment. But Aussies everywhere.
The way the Aussies are going, though, it's only a matter of time before we have, you know, a whole starting five or whatever in the team, because it's just year to year we're just more and more and more. It's great to see.
It certainly is. It's great. And as you say, we've got Matisse, obviously, as we record, hasn't signed a contract, but he'll be one of those guys that will fit somewhere. Once teams have more of that, obviously they, you know, sign their stars, and they, you know, there'll be a lot of teams waiting.
He's not the guy you sign on day one, but I think they'll at least my sources are telling me there's lots of interest. So,
Barbie or tomato?
Both.
Nice. All right. And obviously, yes, you know, Pat, a little bit concerned when, you know, Paddy got traded, but that's all right. It's, you know, the league hasn't given up on him. It's just he's closer to the end than he is to the start. And he's one of those guys who is a definite piece. You know, that real locker room guy. Unfortunately, heading a little bit further down the bench than you know, he was in some of those Spurs days, but you know, still something to rely on. You know.
Yeah, he's still going to be a huge presence in the team, though. So I think, and you know, a lot of guys have shown that, you know, that can be enough to keep getting his spot.
Indeed. All right, let's have a looky loo. Let's bring it home. Bring it home, back to that league where they play that sweet, sweet D in the North.
Yep, you lost me.
Plus one. NBL One North, baby. It's getting tight at the top. It's getting tight at the top. And, this eighth place is going to be an interesting one. Let's start over on the women's side of the draw. North side, obviously on top. They have dropped three games in the last five, though. Interesting. Logan looking very solid, winning all their last five. One game behind the 13-3 Wizards with 12-14. Then you've got Rocky with 12-5. Southern District Spartans on 12-5 as well. Then you've got Southwest Metro Pirates 11-5. Darwin. Now, this is where things get a little bit tricky for Darwin. They've got Sunshine Coast Phoenix at home. And that's it. They've got one game left, but they're sitting at 11-7. So if they can make that 12-7, they should be safe. After that, though, this is where things get really tight on the women's side of the draw, mate.
Yeah, for sure. Basically, after that, we've got Gold Coast Rollers in seventh, North Gold Coast Seahawks in eighth, Flames in ninth, and the Cairns Dolphins in 10th. But this is, it gets really close at this point with a few games to go because, only one game separating them, really. And even though North Gold Coast Seahawks are in 8th there, they've actually only played 15 and only have 8 wins compared to a couple of the other teams, Rollers, the Flames, and the Dolphins all having 9 wins. So, being a game behind, they're sitting in that 8th spot. But they actually have some pretty tough matchups coming up. So it's, that 9th win is by no means guaranteed. And it's going to be a pretty, pretty challenging finish for them, especially. I wouldn't be at all surprised to see the Flames actually move from 9th to 8th. Because for me, they have the easiest way home from here. I think they'll probably take that 8th place. And just pip out the Seahawks and leave the Dolphins in 10th.
All right. Yeah, look, it's super tight. Basically, you've got Gold Coast down to the Brisbane Caps, all sitting on, so 7th to 11th, all sitting on 9 and 8 wins. So you got that five teams vying for what's effectively going to be two spots left, as long as teams ahead don't lose everything. So the teams ahead, basically all they've got to do to completely lock it in and make it impossible to dip that low is to win one of their final games. So, yeah, look, tricky little spot here. And of course, you got the Gold Coast and Ipswich game, which was postponed due to that rather tough injury, very tough actually, to injury to Grace George, where the game was called off at that point. So, what exactly the league's going to do there? Not completely sure. We'll have to wait and see on that one. But spicy, absolutely spicy. Really look. I don't mind the North Gold Coast Seahawks. I just got a feeling, just maybe, but it's really hard to count out these Tales of Flames.
They were my team to drop. So,
look, it's possible, but look, last year's champs, Townsville Flames, they went to the Nationals, they gave it everything, came up a little bit short. Obviously, few different personnel changes and different things had to be made, but look, the way they fought at the back end and middle parts of this season, I would not be shocked if they do jump into that eighth spot and force somebody out. It's going to be obviously. So, all right, let's hop.
And our Caps are still a chance too. They just got to kind of win out.
They have a very tough last three games. Well,
they've got
Spartans. Spartans, Ipswich, gettable. That's definitely a gettable game. The Switch, Spartans, very tough game. And then, of course, Wizards at home to finish off the regular season. So, yeah, look, they've got to win out. It's definitely doable, just tricky.
Yeah.
With their injuries, it's really
tough,
tricky.
Yeah, I think it'll be a bit tough this year, but they showed a lot that should hopefully carry over to next year.
And, look, they did it at the end of last year to get into that fourth spot. Like, they were able to, beat Wizards 2 weeks in a row on the home court. But they also didn't have anywhere near the same injuries they have right now. Obviously have to weigh that in and wish them the best, but we'll have to see how we go. All right, let's jump over to the men's side of the draw. Whew. Gold Coast Gold Coast at the top, 15-2. Logan Thunder, 14-2. Then a slight dip, to the Ipswich Force. Cairns, Marlins, who've worked their butts off to get themselves into that fourth place. And there I would say that's possibly going to be your top four in one way or another.
Quite possibly, very good chance, or at the worst, Cairns will be in it.
But look, if we dip down below that, then we've got from fifth place all the way down to 13th. What have we got? That is a grand total of
two wins difference.
Yep. From fifth to 13th.
That is wild.
Right.
To just bunch together so much in the middle.
Yeah. Absolutely. And it's crazy, but here we are. So let's do this thing. Southwest Metro Pirates in fifth place. Mackay sit in sixth. Southern District Spartans in seventh. Darwin Salties in eighth. And again, the tricky spots for the Salties here is they've got one game left. Rip City below them have three. So, look, and Sunshine Coast as well. So that'll be interesting. If Sunshine Coast obviously Sunshine Coast Phoenix will have to play Darwin in Darwin. If they can roll Darwin right there, then they will end Darwin's season on their on Darwin's home court.
Bit mean.
Yeah, look, it is what it is.
But it's what you go there to do.
Exactly. Yeah. So then you got North Gold Coast Seahawks in seven.
The interesting thing with the Seahawks is they've only played 15. So,
yeah, couple of busy weekends left for them to finish up, and then you've got the Capitals in 12th there, 7-9, and Northside Wizards just behind them on 7-9 as well. Mate, do you have an outsider's pick to get into that eighth spot?
Yeah, for sure. Massive homer pick, but the Cats are going to do it.
Okay.
And the reason, being is they're just an entirely different team. You know, now that they've got Moores, they've got Lockie back, they've got Stoddy back. They just look so different to a couple of weeks ago. As I was saying, they kind of really turned that corner and they just haven't really looked back. I mean, they've won, lost out of the last five, but even, yeah, they've looked awesome in pretty much all five of those games. For me, that's they'll be moving on up at someone's expense, hopefully at least.
Look, I'm all for home team spirit and go Caps for sure. I think they're going to have to win out to really bump up, which Ipswich Force, look, it's the last home game. At the very least, Caps are going to be able to do that at home, which, hey, and I, don't get me wrong, I'm hearing everything you're saying. I watch all their games, obviously. They are a completely different team to what they were when they were down both Stoddy. Yeah. Both Stoddy and Lockie early in the season, and of course before T Lakes and Moores arrived and got settled. That's the big thing. They seem very settled at the moment.
It'd be great if they had just, you know, one or two more games, and then I think it'd be a lock. But
and that's the problem with these NBL one seasons. They're so hard to get the timing right, and there's so many factors that you just can't control. That are outside your control, whether it be injuries or whatnot. But tricky. But that is what it is. Look, I'd love to see it. I think it all hinges on, basically that Ipswich Force game. So obviously Spartans are no slouches either, but they look very different. Caps look completely different to the last game, the last time Caps played Spartans. So, look, I'd love to see the Caps get in. I just looking at it, and they seem to have their issues from the outside looking in. Saw some of that. It felt like we saw some of that from the commentary box. In the last couple of weeks when they played it against the Capitals, Rip City. They've got three games left and they're currently in ninth spot. They can win two of those. And I believe they'll be on top of Darwin there. If they can win two of those, I believe they will leapfrog over Darwin. But if they win all three, obviously, and Quatnoy is just a monster of a man. If those other pieces can just facilitate, do what they need to do and get out of the way and not, work each other out of games and different things. Just from the outside looking in, it just looks like there's just something's not quite gelling in between all the pieces. And they've got the talent to get this thing done. So they're going to be my pick to jump in there and either Salties or even Spartans to get bounced.
Nice.
We'll see. We'll see. But look, top of the table, yeah, and that's the thing. Yeah, you're going to have to win out all the way, and then what's your prize? Gold Coast.
Yeah, get to play the Rollers.
Yeah. Or Logan, you know.
Yeah, either way.
Yeah, so look, it's going to be really tough for whoever takes in that eighth spot. So that's unfortunately just the way that's going to be. But all right, so there's our prediction sort of set for the next couple of weeks. Obviously, you know, we'll have to see how things go, get the results in from the this next round is crucial. There's a lot of teams with a couple of games to finish out. So that'll be absolutely crucial. Injuries always critical, but yeah, you know, this is those Keanu Reeves sort of moments. Winners want the ball. Who on these teams is going to want the ball, and who's going to get after it?
That ball don't lie,
never does.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, the rain has now stopped, so we'll crack on with some local card shop of Woolloongabba / Mermaid Beach. Crack 'em. And things are slightly different this week. Slightly different. So what we've got going on here instead of the regular Kraken is, now, as I've joked about throughout this show, allegedly, Mr. Crawford here, Christopher, that is a Warriors fan. So while I was in the shop of Woolloongabba the other day, I grabbed myself a bundle, and they do these from time to time. They'll have bundles where you can just, you know, pick up a bundle of basically like base cards and different things. So you can just pick a team, and they'll have a heap of cards in there, and really great for, especially when you're just starting out your collection, or if you're, you know, you're just chasing your specific team, you know, those sort of things. So while it isn't a traditional Crack'em, the ideas are still the same. We've got 12 cards here, mate, and they're all from your team, allegedly.
So I'm told I need more than about 8 out of 12 to be better than Macca, and I need to beat 11 out of 12 to be better than Ant. So pressure is on. I've been given a wild handball on it being my team, so the pressure's on to live up to it.
Oh, mate, if you want to beat the Crack'em King, I think it's closer to 12 from 12. You know,
shouldn't be a problem.
Oh, calm down, rookie. Calm down. I say rookie. We have actually done an unofficial, not
that was
recorded.
Very bad at it too.
You were horrendous. So, look, hopefully for the audience out there, you're better this time round. So,
but I've never lacked confidence, so I'm ready to go.
No, your shot attempt numbers can back that up. All right, let's get into this. Local card shop of Woolloongabba Crack'em Special Warriors Edition. Ooh, all right, here we go. So for those who are new to it, I'll just read the back of the card, and obviously Chris will have to guess the player. We've got a mixture of cards, mostly recent ones, and obviously they're all going to be Warriors players. In this one, I'll read the back of the card. I'll obviously omit the name of the player, and we'll see if he can get it from there. He's going for 12 of 12, which should be
very optimistic.
Very, very. But let's get after it and see how we go. All right, here we go. Card one. In part of what it called NBA Handles Week, the league counted down the top 50 dribble moves of the 2021-22 season. Coming in at the number one spot was somebody's sick play versus Washington in March 7, when he went between his legs and then behind his back before scoring with an underhand layup. That's
You'd
it.
Have to assume it was Steph Curry.
Ba-bow. Own one, Jordan Poole. Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, I'm not going to give you clues like I normally would, because we're just focusing in on your team. So expectations are high.
So I just have to remember a specific moment, a specific game that I may not have watched. Cool. Let's go.
Confidence still high, sky high right now. Let's do this. All right. This will be a good one. led mostly by veterans. The Warriors also make sure to get their youngsters involved. In 2021-2022 season, rookies Jonathan Kuminga and Moses Moody both received solid minutes. With his mix of crafty finishes and feisty defense, somebody looks to crack the crowded rotation as well.
Okay.
I'll give you the number.
All right.
Number seven.
Number seven. In 2021-2022.
Nope. 2022-2023. It's a rookie.
Okay. Yeah, Patrick Baldwin Jr.
Okay, look at you go. I'm going to put that in the just column.
Once I had the right year, I was thinking, who else is from that year anyway?
All right, first one on the board. 1-1. 1-1. All right. When someone isn't draining threes from near half court, he is chilling, sinking putts, and clubbing balls on the golf course. Do you need any more? Or?
I presume it's Steph. He's a pretty good golfer.
Pretty good, yeah. Let's lock that in. Oh, and that's a nice card, local card shop. That is a very nice card, an Unleashed card. All right.
Nice. I get that, right? I got it right?
You don't get to keep the card, but yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Just confirming the rules.
I'll put that one in the W column. So you're currently looking at 2-1. 2-1. All right. Due to the high stakes and elite competition, players often see their stats decline in the playoffs. During Golden State's title run in 2022, somebody stayed consistent. The wing dropped his regular season scoring average by less than 7.2 to 16.5 and actually improved his field goal percentage from 0.466 to 0.469.
Okay, so 21-22, we've got a wing. And what did you say, about 7 points a game?
Nope, 17 points a game.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it must be Wiggins.
It is Wiggins. It is. All right, doing okay. Doing okay. All right.
It had to be.
Somebody's stellar scoring directly led to Golden State success during the 2022 playoffs. The All-Star guard recorded at least 20 points in 8 games, with his squad winning 6 of them. His offensive excellence helped guide the Warriors to yet another chip.
Can you hear me riff again?
The All-Star guard.
Okay, so it's Steph.
It's Clay. Come on, buddy.
Yes, he's also a guard. I meant sugar.
Oh, buddy, 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 buddy. That's two in the no column. Two in the no column. Oh.
All right. Well, let's beat Macca still.
All right. Steph Curry didn't top the Warriors in assists for 2021-2022 season. Neither did Jordan Poole, Andrew Wiggins, or Clay Thompson. The team's top facilitator was somebody who produced 7 dimes per night. The forward then averaged 6.3 helpers and provided...
Draymond Green.
It is indeed. All right. Next card. Rookies don't always make the playoffs, and even if they do, they're often stashed on the bench. During the 2022 tournament, somebody was the rare first-year player to make an impact. Helping Golden State claim the championship, he led all rookies in postseason points with 83.
It'd have to be the Cumbucket, right?
Jonathan Kuminga. Worst name in history.
Yeah, I agree.
Even worse than Fast PP. That's way worse. That's neck level. All right. After 2 seasons in the NBA, somebody began to focus on the mental side of athletics. People only see me on the basketball court. They don't see the real stuff behind the scenes, he told the San Francisco Chronicle. I had to do a lot of stuff for myself, a lot of self-reflection and healing. Healing.
Okay. So what year are we looking at? 20.
This is a 2022-2023 card.
Okay. So, and someone that had been in the league 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Probably Wiseman.
Oi, look at you go. Look at you go. All right. Doing okay. Doing okay. All right.
I figured he was the only one that was injured for a couple of years, so all he had time for was reflection.
Yeah. All right. Somebody averaged 4.5 three-point makes in 2021-2022 season, which wasn't even one of his top seasons from beyond the arc. That's not a knock. He still led the league with 285 total triples. It's more of a testament to how amazing he has been in years past. He has averaged more than five triples three times.
Well, that can only be Steph, right?
Correct. Do love a long pause.
It just threw me because we'd already had him. So I was like, surely I don't get him again.
Oh, sometimes the greats come back, mate. Sometimes okay. The greats come back.
Yeah. Maybe, well, he'd have more cards out there than anybody else in the team, I imagine. So it makes sense.
Well, the kids aren't lining up for a Draymond Green card, are they?
That is very true.
I'm going to put that out there right now. All right. Getting his feet wet as a rookie. Somebody averaged 11.7 minutes and made 11 starts. His role was set to expand in the 2022-2023 season. That 3-and-D position, he projects to be a part of things next year, Coach Steve Kerr told The Athletic. He showed it in the playoffs against Dallas. Second-year man in 2022-2023.
What was the stat you said? That helps. Or mine?
The 3-and-D position, and he averaged 11.7 minutes and made 11 starts.
Okay. We've already had Kuminga, so Moody.
Moody it is. Moses Moody. Moses Moody. Ooh, this one is a nice card. This is a really nice card.
Dibs.
Not how that's going to work. Numbered, too. Numbered two, 002 of 149. So 2 of 149. That's not bad. The lower the number, the greater the value in essence. All right.
Cool.
But only if you've heard of the guy. That's also really important. Somebody's smile turns into a game face when he steps on the court. I'm just a polite, friendly, kind-hearted dude, he told NBC Sports. On the basketball side, I'm a competitor. So when I go out there, I'm going to give my all on the offensive and the defensive end. Rookie card from 2022-2023.
So rookie this last year.
Yep, yep, yep.
We've already had PBJ. There's nothing else you can give me?
There's nothing else I'm going to give you.
Because it's either PBJ or... Rollins or
Ryan Rollins is correct. Last one. Some questioned whether someone would last in the NBA. He's never been the biggest nor fastest. The floor general took the criticism in stride, using it to propel him towards the Hall of Fame. In the 2022-2023 season, the legendary point guard entered the season with 4 championships and the NBA record for 3-pointers. Now, that's just softballing it in. That last bit just really.
Yeah, you could have probably skipped that bit, but yeah, that might be Steph.
Might be or is. I'm going to need you to be really.
Yeah, it is Steph.
It is. All right. So, 10 and 2.
That's 10 and good. 2.
Not bad. Not bad.
Did you hide out, Macca?
Well, I feel as if he's going to want to clap back on that one.
I'm retiring on top.
Hey, this isn't a head-to-head moment, mate. It's only fair that I pop back down to the local card shop of Woolloongabba, grab a 76ers pack.
I was going to say, just before this goes to air, give him a call. Give him the same 12.
Oh, look, maybe, but this is your team. You should know these guys. All right, speaking of your team, as we've talked about on the show, once upon a time, you're a big Lakers fan. I do have a slightly more difficult tester card here for you.
Mm-hmm.
I will give you that it is, right off the bat, a crucial Lakers piece. crucial. So,
okay,
same sort of deal. I'm going to read the back, and look, we'll just see how you go. We'll just see how you go. All right. So somebody totaled 3,454 rebounds and 5,428 points during his 11-year NBA career. Named to the NBA All-Rookie Team, he played for the NBA champion for an NBA champion team and posted a 6.7 winning percentage last season. That's it. That's all you get. Lakers.
You're not giving me an era?
Nope. Lakers. Crucial to Kobe and Shaq. That Kobe and Shaq time, I'll give you. Crucial.
Okay. That helps a lot because I was pretty blank about that. There wasn't a lot in that.
So your time as a fan, absolutely crucial.
I know who this will be. Just based on the fact that you're going to tie it into the Warriors, I'm going to say Luke Walton.
Oh, no, mate. Actually crucial. Phil Jackson.
Oh. Well, there you go.
Phil Jackson. Yep. Played from 67 to 80. Yeah. Yeah. Nice little card I've got here again.
I think I was there for his last home game as a coach.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
I got smoked by Dallas.
Ah, could be worse. Could be worse, right?
It could have been Minnesota. Yeah, you're right.
Exactly. If you're going to go to NBA games, you know, you're going to see a team that you really like I did when I went to see the Clippers, make sure they've got a horrible team in town, like I did. Minnesota happened to be in town that night. So, you know, of course.
Thanks for taking the L on that one, Scotty.
Anyway, mate, that's going to wrap us up. Thanks for jumping on.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, no, actually, we really should thank your mum because, you know, this is her
wouldn't
Christmas.
Wouldn't be here without her.
Well, so many jokes there. but this is her Christmas present. So, you know, you're welcome. But thanks again for joining us, mate. And, that's going to wrap us up here. Thanks again, of course, to the local card shop of Woolloongabba/Mermaid Beach. And if you are on the socials, please do, you know, give us those likes and different things. We are trying to do more and more things out there in that space. And if you are listening on a streaming service that allows 5-star reviews, please go and do that. Stuff really does help a lot. But until you're listening to us again, hear it here, just remember that ball don't lie.
Never does.